This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Have a good day.
See ya.
Congressman will never that. The same.
Good luck, Congressman Rodney Davis. How are you? You think Bernie Schoenberg's tough? Listen to try to follow this act.
I still shake my head and can't believe you still put him on the air. I mean, this guy is a known boat thief. He stole Danny Coker's boat.
He stole Danny's boat.
You know, I had to go get a motor battery down in Taylorville at Danny's place about a month ago.
And yeah.
I thought about going up to Decatur to Rex Battery, but I didn't know if my truck would be in the parking lot when I got the battery.
Oh, that's good. Okay, you folks in the House, are you going to go back to talk about the second, you know, help that was passed by the Senate? How's it going to work, Congressman?
Well, I'm here in D.C. now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. No. I've got to testify in front of a House Rules Committee tonight to beat back an attempt by the Democrats to institute a proxy voting process that Republicans got rid of 25 years ago when we took over after 40 years in the wilderness, because it was a corrupt process. It's not ironic that Nancy Pelosi was serving in Congress during that corrupt process. So was Steny Hoyer, the people who were leading the charge to go back to it. So I'm out here fighting that proxy process that they're trying to hide in the midst of us passing this agreement that's going to really plus up the PPP program, which our mom-and-pop shops, our small businesses need, guys.
You know, one of the spins that they, being on the Democrat side of the aisle, is going to say is that, well, this bill again helps businesses but doesn't help Billy and Betty Bungalow, the common ordinary citizen. How do you answer that?
Well, I can't. I don't know how you get more ordinary than Bill and Betty Bungalow, your folks that you identified, who own a small business in places like Hillsboro, Illinois. When they don't have customers, they don't have income. They don't have cash flow. So what we've done is we've created an innovative program, the PPP, that was so successful and rolled out in less than a week to get money into their bank accounts to be able to allow them to keep their employees employed so that people have income to be able to pay for things while we're in this economic crisis. And this program was designed to give them a chance to stay a viable business when this is over. So I always am amazed that the Democrats want to complain about a successful program that helps Main Street America, and at the same time, they keep asking for things like pension bailouts for states that have had 40 years of Democratic rule in our legislature that they've decided that they want to help bail them out.
Help me out a little bit. Let's talk about the Affordable Health Care Act or some question whether it should be reopened and so on and so forth. Give me an argument on both sides, if you will, and where do you stand on that issue?
Well, I have recommended to the White House, why not open it up for a time being? But the problem isn't availability of getting into open season or not with the Affordable Care Act, because the only people that would be affected by this new 30-day window would be people who decided not to get health care coverage already through the Affordable Care Act. Why? Because it's unaffordable for many Americans. That's why we still have 60 million Americans, 29 million Americans that have zero health care coverage. It doesn't matter what time of year they can sign up for the Affordable Care Act. They can't afford the premiums. And then we have another 31 million Americans that have health care coverage, but they can't afford the deductibles to go along with the premiums if they were diagnosed with the disease. So it takes our eye off the ball of the real problem. And an issue that I know I've been working with the governor's office on, and Representative Butler, Representative Murphy, Congressman LaHood, is how do we get our health care facilities, like a Springfield clinic, to be able to get patients coming in to deal with what some may call elective procedures, but others may consider those same elective procedures life-saving procedures. We got to start reopening our economy by making sure people get the health care they need. And it's not a debate about Obamacare. It's a debate about access to getting the health care, because you can have all the insurance in the world, but if they're not going to give you a colonoscopy to diagnose a colon cancer tumor, it doesn't matter.
Congressman, I've said all along, I really don't want to spend a lot of time on the coronavirus in the past. Who's at fault? Did we prepare? Both sides will have ample opportunity to blame everybody and run your 30-second yep. sound bites and buy all the ads you want and taking what Donald Trump said and out of context and using it for your benefit and so on and so forth. I'm more concerned, where do we go from now to the future? When do we what do we need to do? A, make sure this never happens again, that we're better prepared with supplies, both at the federal and state level, evidently. Where do we go from here?
Well, you're 100% right, Sam, and I don't think you get that a lot on your radio show, someone telling you you're 100% right on any issue. But you are on this one, my friend. You know, we got a Monday morning quarterback this after it's over.
Yep.
We can find fault at all levels of government, and many have, and those are the politically intoxicated people of this world. But what we've got to do is I've introduced a bill to put together a group of experts, former politicians, you know, let's get experts together to identify what we need to do to avoid a PPE shortage, to avoid a shortage of reagents that are used for testing materials and testing materials, for example. You know, how do we make sure that if we create a national stockpile, people know what to expect from it? We didn't do that at any level of government. As a matter of fact, I was on a call last week with the FEMA administrator. One of my Democratic colleagues eviscerated the FEMA administrator for a lack of response. And I got on the next question. I said, how in the world can you just blame the FEMA administrator? I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. But at the same time, we in Congress were the ones who were supposed to fund an increase in the stockpile. None of us in a bipartisan way. It was a bipartisan failure that we didn't fully fund a stockpile to address a pandemic. Why? Because we never thought we'd have a pandemic like this. I mean, that's the truth. And all levels of government need to think differently now, and that's what this commission will do.
Congressman, in the paper today, Bernie Schoenberg wrote the article. I'm just going to have you comment. Davis Consultant gets into the PPE business. That is, of course, the protective gear that is involved with this COVID-19 outbreak. I'm politically naive, I think, in this area. What does a consultant like this gentleman or this company, what do they do for you and obviously for other members of Congress and the Senate? I'm sure they had more than one client.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just typical politics. My opponent probably fed opposition research to a reporter and they write a story. That happens. But look, Mike and his company did great service for me and many Republican members of Congress helping us raise money. And he was very successful at it. But one day I got a call and an email saying, hey, I'm not out of business. You're going to have to get a new consultant that's going to have a company that's going to work to help you do those things. So it was a surprise to me that he got out of the business, but I wish him well. And I had a new consultant helping me do the same thing in less than 24 hours.
Is that one of the really challenging parts, I would guess, of elected office? Is raising money, and you have to have consulting firms who are going to lead you down that road, how you get money and so on and so forth. How comfortable does that make you and some of your colleagues feel, both in the House and Senate? You can specifically talk about the House.
Well, everybody talks about getting money out of politics, and then we spend most of our politics on direct media once the campaigns come along. They're expensive. Look, my opponent and I spent, I think, a combined almost $11 million. You've got to be able to raise that money. The Democrats have really nuclearized the fundraising process by a group called Act Blue. And what they've been able to do is for candidates like my opponent and other Democrats, they've been able to capitalize on very rich urban areas on our coastlines to help fund Democratic races in the Midwest. And frankly, that's what happens. So we've got to fight back to get our message out just as much as everybody else does, and that's what we do.
Congressman Davis, do you think people will start to refocus? I don't think they're focusing on the election at all right now, whether it be congressional, Senate, presidential. There are other things on their mind, obviously, and I think witness the fact that the turnout, people have returned their census form is, in the mid 50%, 53, 54, 55%. You think people are just preoccupied by what's going on in their world or the new normal, if you will?
Well, I'm happy that we're getting that response right now because people are doing those census forms online while they're home. They're not having somebody come knock on their door, somebody remind them to do it. That can come later, but the good news is they're doing that, and I want to encourage everybody, go to census.gov, take you about 5 minutes. I mean, I took a little longer because I got five people in my house. Some who don't, well, it'll take even less time. Do it because it matters. But in the end, I think people will follow politics when it gets closer to the election. But like you, Sam, I the campaign side of things has taken a backseat to what we're trying to do to really make sure that we have a viable economy in this country right now and in the state of Illinois. And that's why I'm working with the governor and his team. I'm not going to go out and criticize and snipe about things that can or cannot be done. Let's get things done together, and let's make sure that we're able to address the problems that exist today, and then we can figure out how to respond to the next pandemic in a bipartisan way after it's over.
Bring me a little insight. How do you spend your day? It's now about 8:27 in D.C. How do you spend the rest of your day?
Well, usually I'm on the phone with conference calls, Zoom calls, what have you, most of the day. Today is going to be a little different because I am out here in D.C. So right now I've got media calls like with you and some others. And then I've been on the phone with folks from throughout the district, constituents that have reached out, that I'm reaching back out to them to discuss their needs and their issues and address their concerns. But today I'll be doing a lot of Zoom meetings with my staff and also back in the district with folks who have set up different calls. But then tonight at 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern, I'll be sitting now in the largest committee hearing room we have, and I'll be talking to my colleagues on the Rules Committee about this proxy voting that we should never have in the House of Representatives, especially being pushed through in an emergency. And then tomorrow we'll vote on the package. It was agreed to.
Oh, really? They're going to vote tomorrow that soon on the package then?
Yeah, and it'll look very different. We're going to have a rolling voting process, Sam and Paul, that will get members down on the floor in small groups to be able to cast their vote. I mean, there's no reason why we can't do that safely, just like every healthcare worker that goes to hospital facilities like Memorial and St. John's every day that treat COVID patients. They walk in, they follow the proper hygiene and PPE procedures when dealing with COVID-19, then they go back home. They don't go on a 14-day quarantine. They actually do their job, and they do it safely. We ought to be able to do the same darn thing out here in Washington, D.C. We can do our job, make sure we do what's right for the American people, and we can do it safely here, too.
Congressman Rodney Davis, thanks for your time.
Thanks, buddy.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.